8:34-36 says, Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And of course, you can tell I'm not Pastor Wynn this morning. My name is Jason Cornett, and I'm filling in for Preacher Wynn on the Blessings of Liberty this morning. And I think I scared Noah there just a little while ago, coming in just a little bit late this rainy morning, and I'm still getting used to accounting the time to come into town. We've recently moved, and so things are a little different. We're actually closer, so you think that I would have been here early, but things all work out for the good that love God. And I'd like to say this morning, I love him, and I'm very thankful to be here this morning. And Noah, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. It's good to be here this morning.
Good, good.
We want to say welcome to our listeners, those right here on AM 1450 in Boone, North Carolina, those who are listening in through AM 690 in Bristol, Virginia, and KBGT 89.1 FM, The Truth in Watertown, South Dakota. And I also want to say I have an announcement this morning. Mount Ephraim Baptist Church is having revival on Sunday, October 7th through Wednesday, October 10th at 7 p.m. Preacher Greg Thompson from Midway Baptist Church in Mountain City is going to be there, and everyone is welcome.
Appreciate that, Noah. It surely is good to be here this morning, and just what a blessing it is. I'm thankful for my church. This ministry, the Blessings of Liberty, is brought to you by Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, and I can't say enough how much I appreciate my church and my pastor and his family. They're such a blessing and an encouragement to me, and we'd like to invite you to come to church with us sometime if you're looking for a church family, if you're not a member here locally. If you're a student that's looking for a church to attend while away from home, we're located on Bairds Creek Road, just up from the Willow Valley Golf Course. Our Sunday morning services begin at 10 o'clock a.m., followed with a preaching service beginning at 11. On Sunday nights, it's the second and fourth Sunday nights, we have our services there from beginning at 6. And on Wednesday nights, our service begins at 7. So I would like to welcome anyone that can and would like to come. We'd love to have you. And just, again, I can't say enough about how I appreciate my church. And well, this morning I've got something maybe a little bit different. It's a message that I've preached before, and I looked at it this morning and looked some things over, but it was a blessing to me to study, and it caused me to think about a lot of things and just looking at things and as a new preacher even, but it was just something that come to my mind in a good study, and I just hope and pray that you'll get a good lesson out of this. I normally don't write things out a whole lot. I usually kind of have an outline, but this beginning here as an introduction, I have something that I'd like to read to you, so just in a way of getting started here this morning. If someone was to walk in to where you work, or pretty much any public place, with a gun, you'd probably hear someone shout, "Look out, he's got a gun." People would be concerned about what was going on and what the gunman was going to do. Most everyone would immediately start running, hiding, and looking for cover. Most would obviously be uncomfortable with the situation. Others may even try to confront the gunman or stop him. Well, today it may seem awkward to walk around with a Bible in public. People see that black book, and immediately the person carrying it is looked at in a different light. Why is that? Why are people with Bibles so intimidating, scary, or so often labeled as a hypocrite or a quote-unquote Bible thumper? I'm not talking about someone running around waving a Bible and screaming, "I've got a Bible and I'm not afraid to use it." I'm talking about just carrying it, having it sitting on your desk, or at work with you. Would that be awkward? Would it be uncomfortable to you and to those around you? How and why has our society, even here in the Bible Belt, become so distant to this book, the only book that literally has all the answers? Why not cling to it? Listen to this here. The value of our lives depend on this book and our application of it. you do not believe that statement, try doing it. Try living it and see how your life changes. The decline of values, morals, and society in general in our country is directly related to the decline in the time spent reading, reverence, and respect of that book. You could have books on communism, socialism, Satanism, just about anything laying around, and neither of them would draw the attention a Bible does. If you don't believe me, try it and see. See if you don't get a response, look out, he's got a Bible. This is something I thought about some time back. You know, it's something that it might seem kind of childish or maybe even small to some people, but think about that. Think about Christians today, those who are willing to carry their Bibles to church. How awkward or how different would it be for you to carry your Bible into the workplace? Carry it to different places that you go throughout the week, different meetings or different committees or different things that you would go to. How awkward would it be for you to carry your Bible into this place? You know, I was thinking a lot about, you know, obviously if you see somebody with a gun going around, you know, people will get scared. People clench up when they would see something like that. What's he going to do with it? Well, you know, there's some people that even have that kind of attitude or mentality, it seems, when they see somebody with a Bible. That person's automatically labeled, and that person is looked at just differently. And I've seen it happen. I've been on both sides of this. I've seen the reactions of people and what they're saying, and I've seen people in public with a Bible, and I've even taken note of it, just seeing what somebody's carrying in their hands and see them have a Bible. You know, it makes me think about this person and just wonder, where are they coming from? Is this a positive? Is this a negative? Where are they coming from? In 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verses 1 and 5, 1 through 5, I've read this these verses here a whole lot lately, and they really, really come to my mind a whole lot. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And when I look back and I see here that they will have itching ears and they'll turn to fables, I tell you, that's something that really, you know, that comes to my mind a whole lot. But before I get ahead of myself, that word reprove, that means to charge with a fault to the face. And the more I read that definition, the more I see how important it is. The Bible is talking to preachers here. The Word of God, Paul has written this out to preachers. He's saying, preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, reprove, to charge with a fault to the face. You know, that's a very serious thing. That's a very, very serious thing. The person that is doing the charging has to come from the right point of view, has to come from the right perspective. They have to be living the life that they would that they were supposed to be living before God to even get to the point of trying to do something like this. How hard it is. You know, people don't like confrontation, and to reprove someone to their face, it needs to be done out of love. You know, it has to be something that's done sincerely based on the Word of God. And a lot of times it's not what you say, but how you say it. But that word reprove has become a much more important word to me here in recent times. Rebuke, that means to chide, to reprove, to reprehend for a fault. That's warning, that's correction. As a father, I see how more and more important it is to, you know, to rebuke my child, to show him the right way to do things. This word exhort here, it means to excite or give strength, to encourage. And, you know, as a preacher, even more so like myself, kind of doing the work, as you would say, of an evangelist, going around to different churches, it's more fun to go around and give exhorting messages and encourage people. But, you know, there is a time and a place that we ourselves have to reprove and rebuke ourselves, and maybe even some of the ones around us that maybe haven't seen things the way that they should see it based on God's word. But the way this is written here, we ourselves can take God's word, read it, and study it, and we can reprove and rebuke ourselves through the word of God. Down here in verse number 3, it says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." Endure, that means to bear with patience, to bear without opposition or sinking under the pressure. And there's a lot of pressure, you know, peer pressure. You see a lot of people today, and maybe young people, old people alike, there's older people alike, there's not, if they've not been around so much the word of God, that they're just not wanting to hear that. They don't want to hear that reprove and that rebuke. They don't want any part of that. But it's so important for us to hear these things, and these things to be a part of our life, for us to be close to the Lord as we should be close to Him. And it says here what they'll do instead of enduring and listening to the word of God, that they'll heap to themselves. That means to amass, to accumulate, to lay up, to collect in great quantity. They're going to heap up to themselves teachers having itching ears. They want to be told what they want to hear versus what the word of God says. And that's where we come into fables. You know, I was thinking about that word fables. That's a fiend story or tale intended to instruct or amuse. And I was thinking about that word a whole lot. You know, a lot of times people will say, the Bible says such and such. Well, doesn't the Bible say this? And, you know, they'll say something along the lines of a moral fable or a tale that they've heard. And it's not even in the Bible. But in their mind, you know, they've heard these things so much that they begin to believe these fables, even if it has a good meaning, doesn't necessarily mean that it's in the Bible. And, you know, I was thinking about this as well, and I'll throw this in. You know, just because somebody is willing to stand up and talk doesn't mean they have something to say. We need to pay attention to who we're listening to and why. I can't express to you enough how important it is as a child of God to study His word. We need to know independently ourselves what the word of God says, and not rely just on somebody else. We have the word of God given to us. We have it laid out before us. We need to study it ourselves. And what pride, what, I'm just so thankful that it's there. And, you know, in reading this, and to go on further with what I'm saying, you know, most people are afraid of people with Bibles that, you know, are not used to that or being around people like that. The reason most people are afraid or against the Bible is because they don't know much about it. Not maybe taking enough time or much time, put enough time and effort into maybe studying it, or maybe tried to study a little bit and got intimidated and quit. To study God's Word takes time. It takes effort. It takes discernment from the Holy Spirit to show us what these meanings are. A good dictionary with you, to have with you, is one thing I would highly recommend. These things come together. You just don't read it casually. It takes much study to understand and learn the different things that the Lord has to show us. And through the Holy Spirit, we can understand these things. You know, I'll throw this out here too. I was thinking about this, you know, my analogy there at the beginning with a gun and the Bible. You know, people are afraid of people with guns and people with Bibles. You know, I just remember when I got into law enforcement, one of the things that my grandmother told me, and it was kind of funny, and we always joke about it now. You know, growing up, my grandmother didn't want me to be around firearms and guns, and my father and my grandfather and my uncle, we'd get together and we'd shoot, and they would show me how to properly handle firearms. And grandma, she didn't want me to do that. She wanted me to stay away from them. And when I got into law enforcement, one of the things she said, "Well, honey, you can be an officer. That's okay." But she said, "Stay away from them guns." And of course, me and my family just got a real kick out of that, because obviously in law enforcement, that's one of the needed weapons or tools that you have to have with you on a day-to-day basis. And in saying that, there's four things here that I want to go into quickly, talking about along these lines. You know, if you were going into battle, you would want your weapon with you. If you're a gardener, there's certain tools that you need. You know, your hoe and your fertilizer, these different things that you need. You can't leave those things locked up in the shed. You couldn't leave your hoe locked up in the shed and think that that's going to do any good for you when it comes time to weed out the garden. A good soldier, would want his weapon with him when he's going into battle. How important that is. It's not going to be enough to be left back at the barracks. It has to be with him. There's four things here I just want to quickly go over. Number one, know your weapon. Number two, know your times. Number three, know your adversary. And number four, know your advocate. Number one, know your weapon. God's word, the Bible. Do not underestimate the Bible. Do not underestimate it. Philippians 2:13-16, it says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." And there again, imagine going into battle without your weapon. Imagine going, if you knew that a battle, you know, our soldiers that's overseas and they're fighting in the battle, imagine them going out into the battlefield without their weapons. How successful would they be in securing our freedom, in securing their own lives? How successful would they be without even having that weapon? Imagine going into battle without a weapon. Imagine this too also, that what it will be like to face God one day and look back on what we could have or should have done. You know, a lot of people are afraid of the Bible just because they don't know a lot about it. Number one, we need to know our weapon. We need to know how to use that Bible. We need to know what's in that Bible. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter number 6, verses 12 through 17. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." In verse number 17 here, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." You know, when I read this here and you think about going into battle as a Christian, as just a living person in this day and time, life is a battle. And if you're not saved this morning, I encourage you, seek out the Lord. Seek out his salvation, because without that, I just don't see how people make it. And this warfare that I'm talking about, this battle, know your weapon. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Our number one weapon of defense, our number one source of strength, our source of help, is the word of God. That is where our power comes from. That is where our strength comes from day to day. If we don't know that, we are just hurting ourselves. You know, two things, you know, some things about the Bible, how the Bible was given to us spiritually. Supernaturally, the Lord Jesus, God himself, gave us the word of God. And Jesus dwelt among us, and he walked, and he is the word of God made flesh among men. And, you know, when God gave us this word, is he not also supernaturally able to keep his word? This word, we don't have to question it. We don't have to wonder if we have God's word. We have God's word. We need to know it. We need to study it. We need to really take that to heart, because there's days that if I haven't spent much time studying, it doesn't seem like it's long before I start feeling defeated. But those days that I got up early, maybe started studying early, and the Lord show me things in his word, that day just seems, I just feel so much stronger that day. You know, and this is a thing here. I'll give you an illustration. I like doing that, and Noah, he knows I like to do that, going to church together. But, you know, there's this saying that says, don't go off half-cocked, or to go off at half-cock. You know, I got to thinking about that. And this here, it's a 1700s, it comes from the 1700s, and it's based on firearms. Here we're talking about weapons. And the flintlock firearms have a cock or a striker mechanism, which is held in a raised sprung position, ready to discharge and make a spark to fire the gun. These can be set at a half cock when the gun is in a safe state, or at full cock when it is ready to be fired. So if you wanted to hold it in a, you can half cock it so it would be in a safe position. Or if you're ready to fire, you can go ahead and pull it all the way back to full cock and it would be ready to fire. And this here, I thought this was neat. It says a gun would only go off at half cock by mistake. And, you know, this really, it really jumped out at me when I was studying this and looking at this. The meaning of it means to, if you want to use a moral value from this or the lesson learned here, meaning to speak or act prematurely. And it's talking about being prepared. But what it would means here, what it's saying is that it, the gun would only fire at half cock by mistake. You know, and I thought about myself at times. I thought about Christians in general sometimes. A lot of the times, the reason we don't use our Bible the way we should is because we don't know how. We don't know enough about it to use it right. I'm not speaking for all of us. I know some people that know how to use God's Word and how precious it is to me to learn this. But I think sometimes those people will wait and say, well, let me ask the preacher, or, well, my preacher says. You know, as growing Christians, we need to get to the point that we know the Bible well enough that we can say, my Bible says. This is what the Word of God says about whatever situation we're talking about. A lot of times people are afraid to use that, and I think sometimes people can even get themselves in trouble because they go off at the mouth, they go off half-cocked and not fully understanding what they're saying. And, you know, in trying to discuss things with maybe non-believers or things, it's important that we know what God's Word says and that we be prepared to give an answer when people come to us with questions and things. You go to church, right? What does the Bible say about this? The Bible says this, right? Are you prepared? Have you been faced with things like this? And are you prepared now more than you were before to be ready to give answer as these questions come up? That's just something that I find very interesting, how that is, that you know, we don't need to go around half-cocked. We need to be fully loaded. We need to be ready. We need to take time and study God's Word. I think it's Luke 12:34, I believe it says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You say, preacher, I don't have time. I don't have time to study. I've got to work. I've got to do these things. I don't have time to study. That's the preacher's job. Well, I beg to differ. We will make time in our lives for those things which we want to do, or those things which we deem most important. And I just encourage you this morning to make it a very important thing in your life to study God's Word and to seek out what He'd have for you to know. And I'm going to continue on here to number two, know your times. Know your times. Look around and you see all the different things that's going on in our lives, and you know, things seemingly are getting worse and worse and worse. Let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter number 3, and I'll read verses 1 through 5. But just think about this. As I read this, as you read along, think about this. And again, this isn't something that's brand new, of course. This is very common scripture. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. It says, this know also, in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And it says plainly here, from such turn away. All these things that are mentioned, and it doesn't take long when you look around in maybe the sports world or some of these other things, and the entertainment business and Hollywood and all these things, I can't help but see this spirit of pride and look what I did. And these, a lot of times people are give out as a testimony their success stories or their life stories of how they pulled themselves up from the bootstrap and they did these things within themselves. And I just don't see it that way. I see giving God all the glory and all the honor. It's so important that we give God what is due to him, the respect to him. This here, it's talking about apostasy predicted, also a sign of the times. This should be a motivation to Christians that our time is growing short, and a sense of urgency should be upon us. And that apostasy, that's an abandonment of what one has professed. How many people today profess, I'm a Christian, I go to church, I do these things. But at the same time, they have that form of godliness, but denying the power thereof that God has truly given to us, but we have to do it his way. Number three, quickly, know your adversary. Again, I'm going to say this here, do not underestimate the devil. 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. That word sober there, be sober, be regular, calm, not under the influence of passion. Be a even plane, to be of a, have your mind sober and ready to focus on what the Lord is doing, what he is saying, what he is teaching. Also, it says, be vigilant. That means watchful, circumspect, attentive, to discover and avoid danger, or to provide for safety. You know, how important it is that we as Christians be prepared, be watchful, be able to not only help ourselves and our family, but those that are in need, and show them, be ready to show them in God's word a place of safety, to how important it is to avoid danger. The word adversary there, that means an enemy or a foe, one who has enmity at heart. Don't be fooled. Satan is your enemy. Do not underestimate him. I tell you, I think sometimes people think that they can handle a few things on their own, maybe, or maybe a little of this or a little of that is okay. I can handle just a little of this in my life. After all, nobody's perfect. Do not underestimate Satan and his power. And number four, know your advocate. Do not underestimate Christ Jesus. 1 John 2:1-2, it says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Advocate, that signifies one who pleads the cause of another. Jesus pleads, he pled, and he pleads my cause for me. Propitiation, that's the atonement or atoning sacrifice offered to God to assurance his wrath, to assuage his wrath and render him propitious to sinners. Christ is the propitiation for the sins of men, him and him alone. And the reason I say don't underestimate him, when we worry, when we don't trust him, we are underestimating the power of our own advocate. I trust him this morning. I trust that you do the same. You know, it might seem so easy to say, don't underestimate the Lord. Well, I don't underestimate him. Then why are you worrying so much? Why are so many things seemingly taking you over and bothering you? We should not be worried if we have our hopes and our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ as we should. And I'll go here and read this quickly. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. It says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. This morning, my main goal in this entire lesson message is just to point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't underestimate him. Know your advocate. Study your Bible, and the more you study, the more you see what God has done for these other people, our faith should be increased. The more as we, you know, it's hard to teach faith, but when you've experienced it and the Lord shows things and does things in your life, our faith should be increased. Don't underestimate the power that the Lord Jesus has, that we have in him. And this morning, that's about what I have this morning, but I just want to encourage you. I hope and pray that's been an encouragement to you. You know, I know a lot of times it's not popular to carry that little black book around, but I tell you, there's so much in there. Our very values of our life, the quality of our life is based exactly on that book and what it pertains. I just encourage you this morning to study, seek out the Lord, and just give your life to him. Give your life to the Lord. And again, if you'd like to come be with us in Mount Lebanon, we'd love to have you and encourage you to do so as well.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, located in Vilas, North Carolina. We want to say thank you to Preacher Jason Cornett for filling in for Pastor Greer this morning. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website, mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.